Well, good morning, friends. Today is Wednesday, the 10th of December in the year of our Lord, 2025. My name is Anna Grace Legband, and this is your wake-up call. Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead. In Christ will shine on you. Let's pray our prayer of consecration together. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. And I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we pray all of these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is going to come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning in verses 1 and ending in verse 6. So hear now the word of the Lord. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now consider this. The peace of God is not just something that we receive for ourselves. As people who carry God's peace and God's presence, it actually impacts our relationships and the world around us. Paul is very clear here in his letter to the Ephesians to live a life worthy of the calling that they have received. Now, this way of living is marked by humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, and putting in the effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is not something that's passive, and it's not something that just happens because we're Christians, but it's an active work that we engage in as God's children. This actually requires effort on our part. Now, there's a key word here that I think is crucial for us to catch. Keep. Unity and peace are not things that we earn or that we create, but that we receive from God, but we do share in the keeping of. Now, this is important because it gets at the source of our peace and unity and where we draw these things from. So it's not from our own human strength or effort or our own ideas, but from God himself. The peace and unity that God gives us is able to be given because of a great disruption of peace. The suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, as he was prepared to be arrested and go to the cross, Jesus prayed this prayer to the Father for those who would come to believe in him. This is from John chapter 17. Jesus says this. He says, "I have given them the glory that you gave me." I'll read that verse part again. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you have loved them, even as you have loved me. Now, these words from Jesus reveal something profound. Our unity, the unity that God's talking about here in Ephesians, is a glory that we share with God, that's given to us by Jesus for the sake of the world knowing that the Father has sent Jesus and that the Father loves them. There's no human effort towards unity that can achieve anything remotely like this. But we are charged to keep that unity with the bond of peace. Now, what does that actually look like? Does this mean that we will never disagree and that everyone's going to get along all the time and that we all are going to think the exact same way? I don't think that's the case. We say this often, but oneness does not mean sameness, which means that there's actually room for disagreement. If we go back to our text today where Paul details what a life worthy of the calling we've received actually looks like, I see that we're urged to relate to one another with certain postures and practices that maintain unity and peace while still making room for our differences and our disagreements. We're called to be humble, instead of defensive, controlling, or demanding our way. We're called to be gentle instead of aggressive or accusatory. We're called to be patient, taking the time to understand the other, even if we don't agree with them. And we're called to be loving no matter what. Now, have you ever entered into a disagreement and someone has responded in one of these ways? They responded with humility, gentleness, patience, or love. I don't know if you've ever had a situation like that, and it doesn't necessarily resolve the conflict immediately, but it certainly changes the trajectory and the nature of the entire conversation and really sets the temperature for going forward. A really significant part of my husband's job involves conflict management, and he has this profound ability to diffuse very tense situations. Now, this also does make him a great person to be married to. There are many times when we have disagreed, and I have actually been surprised to be met with gentleness, humility, and patience that all communicate love towards me in the midst of disagreement. Now, while there still may be conflict, peace is actually now in the midst of conflict. And I actually feel loved and unified with my husband as we work through our disagreement. Now, I think God knew that embodying these postures would be difficult for us. See, of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for in Gethsemane, this made the list. We are charged to keep this unity, but thankfully we don't have to do so in our own strength. Paul's description of a life worthy of the calling we received, a life marked by peace and gentleness and patience and love, echoes the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5. Now, these are not qualities that we muster up on our own, but they are the natural, or rather they're the supernatural outgrowth of an abiding life with God, one that keeps in step with the Spirit. See, God has not only given us unity and peace through his Son, but he actually enables and empowers us to keep what we have been given through his Spirit. This is why Paul exhorts us to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's a cooperative work between us and God. It's a daily reliance on God to empower us to reflect his peace in our relationships. See, God delights to help us in this. Jesus, who prayed for our unity, now intercedes for us, and the Spirit who works within us to bring about those prayers to fruition. Now, as we commit to keeping these things, we are drawn closer to God and closer to one another, reflecting the love and glory of God for the sake of the world, knowing of his love. I'll invite you to respond by considering these questions. One, think of a time when someone showed humility, gentleness, patience, or love in a disagreement. How did that impact the situation or your relationship with that person? Two, what practices or rhythms help you to cultivate an abiding life with Jesus that bears the fruit of the Spirit? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that through your Son, not through human effort, not through human strength, not through good ideas, but through your Son, we are unified with you and with one another. Lord, would you help us to not only know that unity in theory, but to actually experience it and to commit to being people who maintain it through the bond of peace. Lord, would you empower us to live lives that demonstrate humility, to live lives that demonstrate patience and kindness and gentleness and love. And would these not just be white knuckle, self-controlled, holding the tongue or holding back from rolling our eyes, but would these actually be true demonstrations of the power of your Spirit? Lord, we pray for the church across the world, that the church would be known for its witness to peace and unity and love. And we ask that through that witness, the world would come to see and to know your love more clearly. We ask this in your name. Amen. I'll invite Mark Benjamin to lead us in a time of worship this morning and look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.
Well, good morning, everybody. I've got my dad here with me.
Hey, gang, have you missed me? I missed you. I'm ready to sing, are you? What are we singing, son?
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Good Advent hymn. One JD didn't know.
I've never sung this song before, so.
Here we go.
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. Behold, the King of glory waits. The King of kings is drawing near. The Savior of the world is here. Fling wide the portals of your heart. Make it a temple set apart from earthly use for heaven's employ. Adorned with prayer and love and joy. Redeemer, come with us, abide. Our hearts to thee we open wide. Let us thy inner presence feel. Thy grace and love in us reveal. Thy Holy Spirit lead us on until our glorious soul is won. Eternal praise, eternal flame. be offered, Savior, to thy name.
Amen.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you, buddy. Not my dad.